Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's time to go inside the green room with Danny Green.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford, and we are getting oh so close to the beginning of the NBA season. Summer is officially a wrap. It is time for media days, training camps, and unfortunately, Danny, injury news. You cannot play this game without injuries. We want to turn the injury settings off, but you can't. We want to talk about what happened with Fred VanVleet. We're also going to discuss Zion Williamson's new look. And before we end the show, a top five of the best jerseys of NBA history, because we're seeing some new throwback jerseys being introduced to the NBA community this upcoming season. But first, let's get to the biggest news that we've seen over the past couple of days, Danny. Fred VanVleet done for the season, one would presume, with a torn ACL. Apparently, it happened during a team mini camp, obviously not officially training camp, but mini camp that they were having. Torn ACL, done for the season. Devastating news. What does this mean for the Houston Rockets?
Man, first and foremost, I want to give Fred my, you know, condolences, prayers, all that, you know. Shout out to Fred. He's had a, you know, not saying that he won a great career after this, but he's had an amazing career before this thus far, leading this team. He's been an intricate piece to everywhere he's gone. Man, this sucks. There's nothing worse than off-season injuries that affect the season. You know, the guy didn't get a chance to play a day, especially with a group that we thought was going to do something special. With all that being said, this is putting Houston back in the play-in games. Like, they won't make it out of the first round for sure, and they might not be in the playoffs this year. The West is so stacked. We don't know how healthy KD is going to be all year. Without Fred, one of their leaders, they're looking like the Phoenix Suns of last year. So it's looking pretty bad for them, and they're going to go home early. This sucks for the Houston Rockets. I had big expectations. I didn't think they would exceed them or even meet them, but I thought they were going to do some special things during the regular season and at least get to the second round again and possibly, you know, make a splash and get to the conference finals. But right now, no. They're done for this year, and now you got KD, a guy who's only going to get older another year. That trade, it makes the trade look like a wash.
It's a tough situation. I mean, those are some stronger predictions there. But unfortunately, Danny, and for Rockets fans, it feels like it could very well be the reality. Because if you look at the situation, there is no other point guard on the roster that you would trust to win multiple playoff series. And the thing about Fred VanVleet, and while I think Fred VanVleet is a very good player, it wasn't necessarily about, oh, you got a point guard to go out there and drop 25. You got a guy who's going to go out there and drop 10 dimes. But it was the steadiness. It was the reliability. It was the leadership.
The and
exactly. And to have to – and now, if to win two playoff rounds, when you're playing against – we saw what Oklahoma City was doing last year. They were pressing 94 feet on that ass. Lou Dort and the guy. And Alex Caruso just – Cason Wallace just – pressuring ball handlers up the court. And it just doesn't seem well. Now I would say they still have a chance, but it just doesn't look good, because there's too many other good teams in the Western Conference. Now, from my understanding, or at least there's been some reporting, that they're going to trust Amen Thompson to be the point guard, at least to start out, with maybe Reed Shepard being the backup point guard. you shaking your head. But I mean, the ceiling is
great Jordan quote. I like that they get a chance to grow. I love the fact that Reed Shepard's going to get an opportunity. But again, this ain't it, bro. This trade, you trade away some of your young pieces, young core for a KD that you get a waste of a year with. You're never going to get there now. And Fred, like you said, setting the table, the steadiness, and the biggest thing for me, not only a leader, but underrated defender. You know, they changed swipe downs to blocks, and he damn near led the league in blocks one of the years, a couple of years since they changed the rule, because he's so good at swiping down and taking charges and doing a little stuff that like a Kyle Lowry would do. So yeah, that just hurt. And now Dylan Brooks is gone. Like you said, you lost the other, you know, defensive pieces. Amen Thompson is great, but to bring the ball up all year long, like I said, Reed Shepard, I love that. He'll get to grow. But nah, this ain't it, man. They ain't going to make it. Again, I feel for Fred, man. It sucks to have this type of injury before the season, to miss a whole season. I'm glad he got his contract first. that's the only silver lining of this, where he's locked in for some years, because I know how it is when you're looking for a team where a team is not sure, especially a guy that's like a 6 foot under guard or a shorter guard. They don't know how your explosiveness is going to come back. And he's only getting, he's not old, but he's getting older. He's in his 30s now. But yeah, he'll bounce back. He'll be fine. They'll be solid. But Houston has taken a couple steps back with his KD trade and not be able to win with him. They're going to have to find some other pieces again through the draft, or I don't know who else you're going to trade at this point for the next, you know, next 2 years, 3 years.
Another thing that's interesting too, Danny, is that Kevin Durant didn't sign his extension. Right? So like when the Rockets
But to me, it ain't that interesting, because he's done. It's year 19, 20. He ain't pulling out. He's a seven footer. For a seven footer to play this long, I think he's done, bro. After this year or two.
He could still, but if he wanted to, you know, there's an argument to be made that, hey, I want a 2 year max extension. I want to play for two more years. And it's very hard for front offices to not give that to him because he's Kevin Durant. Being said, Raphael Stone, the general manager, front office leader in Houston, has shown that he's not afraid to go against the grain. He's one of the first general managers that I feel like in a long time wasn't afraid to tell his lottery pick in it's been a minute. Who just came from? Who they just trade from Houston? The Jalen Green. He wasn't afraid to tell Jalen Green, hey, you're not a rookie max player. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what does he tell KD now that, you know, KD might say, I want the max extension. I want the 2 year max. And Raphael Stone's like, well, we're not a title contender anymore, KD. But at the same time, KD's like, I'm Kevin Durant. It's going to be very interesting to see how that part of it plays out. I will say this, though, Danny, the Rockets still have, and this is why I thought the Rockets going into the season with Fred VanVleet were a title contender, because it's not just how they were constructed at that point. It was also the fact that they own swap rights in 2027 with the Brooklyn Nets for a first-round pick. So it wasn't just, okay, they're going into the season with Şengün and KD and Amen Thompson, Fred VanVleet. It was, if they feel good about where they are around December, around January, then they could trade that pick, that 2027 first round Brooklyn Nets pick, that's going to be probably a top five pick. They could put that in a package to get even better. But now you have to say to yourself, this might be the only thing we could hold on to continue to get better more incrementally and not necessarily to be a title contender. Using that pick to just replace Fred VanVleet is not ideal. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out for them, which leads me to another question, Danny. Because
they're going to need that pick. They're going to need that pick.
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody this summer, and they asked me, who's the best team in Texas? And this person who I spoke with was a Spurs fan. He was a Spurs fan, so he was very much the Spurs are the best team. Spurs. Yeah, but I told him, watch out, though, because even if you believe the Spurs are the best, the Houston Rockets have a 2027 Brooklyn Nets first round pick. They could get significantly better if they decide to use that pick. Now, again, Fred VanVleet is hurt. I'm putting you on the spot, Danny. Rank them 1 to 3 best in Texas. So Mavericks, so with, Spurs, with, Rockets.
As is right now with Fred.
As is right now.
I'm going with all the other teams healthy. So it's easier for me to picture Dallas because I just saw Kyrie working out the other
day. Just say it. No caveats. No caveats.
At the end of the season, I think who is going to be the best team or have the best record and being Dallas.
We don't necessarily have to go best record because it's going to be a little skewed in terms of like
whoever finishes best. I think the best season. I'm going Dallas, San Antonio, Houston. That's how I'm going. Yeah. If AD, if Cooper Flag pans out the way he's supposed to with a healthy AD, Kyrie, you know, you got that big lineup with PJ Washington, Lively, who might stay healthy. They need to stay healthy. You got Clay over there. I like that group, bro, a lot.
D'Angelo's over there.
D'Angelo Russell's there. They picked up some good. They said they made some good moves, man. I'm going with Dallas.
Put Phil Handy on the staff. Phil
Handy in there, staff. They made some great.
I think Frank Vogel's on the staff now too.
Great offseason additions, bro. All around, from front to front line to the front office to the coaching staff to everything. They made moves and the roster and get that number one pick, put them there. And I said, San Antonio is good too, but I have to see how they look. Dylan Harper is also out right now with a small injury for a couple of months. He's going to take some years. And De'Aaron Fox, he's also. I have to see how that two man is going to look and how healthy he stays throughout the season. And then they still have to figure out, you know, Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sohan, like those guys fitting around them. Harrison Barnes is a great locker room, you know, vet that you need to try to keep the glue and mesh everybody.
How are you going to say all these plays and not say the word Wemby yet?
I didn't need to.
How did you not say Wemby? Who's going to be a top seven player in the league this year?
I said De'Aaron Fox and Wemby. I need to see that two man, how that fits. One, but said what's some things don't need to be. That's why they're number two.
Yeah.
Some things do not.
Doesn't need to be said.
Exactly. So it's the reason why Houston is at number three. Even if they were healthy, I'd still probably had Houston at three with Fred VanVleet because of Victor Wembanyama. So, yes, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston. But Texas, man, they cooking. They are in the kitchen, bro. They back. It's going to be some rivalry games for the next 5 years. It's going to be.
You're right.
Texas.
Hey, listen, those teams that are going on that Texas road trip, they're going to be tough. Going to be tough for sure. The future is bright with San Antonio. Future, you know, I don't know how long the long-term future is, but you still have Cooper Flagg for Dallas, and obviously with Amen Thompson and Sengun, things look good for the Houston Rockets. Okay, there you go. So Danny Green's top three teams in Texas in order: Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio Spurs, Houston Rockets. That is going to be, I would think, a controversial take. All right, let's continue to go with more injury news.
Spurs fans going to be on my ass. Pause.
Right. But, I mean, I think Spurs fans seeing that you at least put them over the Rockets, they'd be like, okay, that's, I could respect that. But real recognize real. The Mavericks have a lot of veteran leadership, and they might have a young star in Cooper Flagg. It could be out there for them. Now we'll see. The thing is, I don't want to spend too much more time on it but it's also real. Mm. AD can't go down this year. He can't miss. He can't have
10 game stretches, like maybe two or three games. Like he can do a total of 10, 15 games.
He's got to play 70. He's got to play 70 games this season.
Yes.
He's got to play 70 games.
It can only be like, two, three game. If he had like a little ankle sprain,
Or something like that.
It can't be nothing major. It can't be for a month. That's going to hurt them a lot. So that's a big key for them.
If AD should look at this season and say, I'm trying to be at least all NBA second team. Shit, why not first team? But he should at least be
all NBA
second. Yeah, he's got
the reason why he's top 75. He's one of the best two-way players we've ever seen in the history of the game. So if you stay healthy, there's no reason. There's no excuses why he can't be all NBA first team.
And we saw
how he played here if he wanted to be.
Exactly. We saw how motivated he was or how well he played in that first game after the Luka trade. I want to see AD on that type of time all season long. Yeah. All season long. All right, we got to get to some more injury news. Exactly. I want to get. We've got to get to more injury news. This time, a little bit more on the positive side. Jason Tatum, who's made a series of media appearances recently, he said that he has not ruled out playing this season, coming off of that severe injury that he suffered during game number 5 against the New York Knicks. Now, he also said that maybe the series wasn't over against the Knicks. They could have won the series. As a Knicks fan, I'm not going to get into it. I love the optimism.
Listen, that game was over. Y'all were going to be down 3-1, and that series is over. There's a reason why the statistics are very much against you when you're down 3-1.
Yeah, for sure. We won't get into that. But let's get into this though, Danny. He said he hasn't ruled out coming back this season. You're a man who had injuries towards the end of your career. What was your biggest takeaway when you heard that from Tatum?
Well, first, I said I love his mindset of how he's attacking his rehab, man, because it's all really on you. A lot of people think you're out for the year, and that's not true. And I was worried when I first got the news of what I tore my knee, like, damn, I'm going to be out for a year. And some people are like, nah, you can get back, you know, within this time frame. You can, you know, if you attack it the right way, if you heal the right way, you do the right things, eat clean, and have no setbacks, you know, you can record time. They said for me, double ligament was, you know, close to record time of getting back and being cleared in like 7-8 months. We've seen other guys at ACLs come back 6 and 7 months. So it is possible to come back sooner. Even if he did come back, Boston don't got it this year. They're not it this year. But for him, it'll be better for him to get back sooner because your knee and your body and your confidence in your knee will take a turn, and it'll be more. I don't know how to, like, the second year is when it gets stronger, when you get more back to normal, back to yourself. So your confidence, your self-esteem, everything, you'll get back to your normal self sooner. Like, I felt good when I got back. No, I was cleared. But there's still things that I was like, you know, my one-legged jump was not there. Certain things I'm just like, I had to make sure I had to warm up really good before. You'll be back to your normal self that second year or after that offseason, coming back to next season. He'll be Jason Tatum for sure. So, yeah, the way he's approaching and attacking it is the right way. But, again, he comes back this year, Boston. They made a lot of trades. They're a good ball club. They have some good pieces, but they ain't getting it done this year. They ain't it.
Yeah, I can admire it's good for him to kind of set that precedent that he wants to come back. If you're a Celtics fan, I wouldn't be. Don't play yourself. Make it be a pleasant surprise.
It's a good precedent. It's a good precedent, but. Yeah, even if it's a pleasant surprise, it's nice. It gives you another reason to go see the games. More tickets, you know what I'm saying? To go watch.
Cheer him on, get his mind right about being back on the floor. But you got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Could be in the playoffs. It's the East. You still could be in the playoffs. You could be in the playoffs, but you're not going.
You still can't expect him to really perform at a high level in the playoffs. Be happy, as you're saying, Dan, just be happy that he's making an attempt to come back this season. That will just jumpstart everything for the 2026-2027 season when everything should be back relatively to normal. All right, let's continue with other things that we've seen in the NBA. And what we saw this week, this might have been the most shocking news. Not Jason Tatum saying that he's coming back. Not Fred VanVleet tearing his ACL. It was looking at Zion Williamson during media day. Now, the streets are saying, this is not me. It's like the streets are saying, hold on, does Zion take Ozempic? Because we haven't seen Zion look like this in a very long time. I lost faith. I know a lot of people in the NBA lost faith. A lot of fans have lost faith. And then here he goes, all of a sudden, slimmed down, trimmed down, goatee. Are you buying it, Danny?
Well, people saying a lot.
Buying about Zion Williamson? Are you buying anything about Zion Williamson?
No, I'm not. You need to show me for me to believe it type of person. That's what.
He showed you his new physique.
You got to show me on the court. You got to show me through a full season. Like, that's great to come.
That wasn't. But
there's a lot of guys that come in the question.
But that wasn't the question, Danny. Like, he's always performed well on the court. He just never available.
Never stayed healthy. That's what I need to believe. I need to believe you take care of your body enough throughout a season to stay available, stay healthy, and not gain weight throughout the season. So, yes, you said in a very long time, no, we've never seen Zion like this ever, even in high school. The only people who have seen Zion like this probably knew him as a child when he was in middle school or something. We've never seen Zion this fit, this slim. Again, when I looked at the picture, I had to Google to make sure it was real. Like, I thought it was fake. I thought it was AI generated. Something was off. I'm like, nah, this ain't Zion. What the hell? And I saw it somewhere on one of either Facebook or Twitter, and had John Morant, you know, his tweet over it. And I'm like, nah, somebody stitched this together. Let me do some research. And I'm like, nah, he looks crazy.
You didn't want to get hit with fake news.
Yeah, I'm like, nah.
AI, the AI crazy, bro. You better watch out.
Nah, he don't look like Zion. Mind you, so we don't know. This is great for his body, mental health, everything, but we still don't know what kind of game it's going to look like for him. Is he going to be able to get, is he going to be pushed around more because he's lighter? You know, is he going to be able to play the four? He's probably more like, is he going to have to play the three? Not to say that this game is not a back down league anymore anyways.
But he's a bully.
He's a bully, and that takes away from some of his game. He's not going to be able to put shoulders through chest like he was back, you know, last year, years prior. But again, I feel like, not saying him and Luka are the same, but I feel like we get the same kind of story. You know, Luka's in shape this summer. He plays great for his country. And then during the season, people are like, oh, he's out of shape. Not with Zion, but I feel like he comes into preseason or media day like, oh, I feel great. I think it's a great year. I don't believe it till I see it. I need to see a full healthy season and of you staying in shape. And it's the same thing as with shooting the ball, Harrison. You don't believe a guy is a shooter until he does it for multiple seasons. You got to shoot. You can't shoot 40% one season, but like, oh, he's a shooter. No, I need 2 or 3 seasons of seeing it to believe you're committed and you're this guy. That goes for both Luka and Zion. I'm not believing it until I see Zion stay healthy for at least one full season. Again, I want to see 2 and 3, but at least one full healthy season.
Yeah, you make a good point. I'm curious. What do people say, people in your NBA circles, what has been said about Zion Williams?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And just like, is it disappointment? Is it like a shame?
Yeah, it's like I had a great analogy, but it probably wouldn't have been appropriate. It's just a lot of talent that you see go to waste, man. You know, you're like, damn, like if it's like you single as a man seeing a fine joint that doesn't like men, you're like, man. You know, you like, dang, you know what I'm saying? You trying to shoot your shot at a joint, you know? So Zion said, because all these NBA players.
She's just not in the market for it.
Sorry, H. That ain't, you know what I'm saying?
I see so much greatness in us, but it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen, bro. He's just one of those guys because he envy his talent. He envy his explosiveness. It's just God-given ability. And for it to not be used the way it should be used. And he's still getting paid and getting his contracts. It's just, you know, you're like, damn, it's a little disappointing. And you're like, some people, it's other guys, big media, is, oh, it's a waste. I don't think it's a waste, but it's like, damn, you could be. So if I had that, like, so other guys, like, if I had that, you know who I'd be? You know, he should be. I mean, Blake had a great career, and I don't think he gets enough flowers. He should be the new era Blake Griffin.
I guess time should tell. All right, we got to keep moving here. Another thing that caught our attention, and let's circle back to the comment that you made a little bit earlier. You think the Dallas Mavericks are going to end up being the best team in Texas by the end of the season? Well, ESPN apparently believes you to some extent. That's because recently they put out a new rankings poll for this upcoming season, and they had one. Hold on. They had one Cooper Flagg ranked number 52 overall in the season. That's before players like Paul George, Miles Turner, and, you know, Austin Reeves. You have a problem with this.
Absolutely, bro. ESPN is always out of pocket with these rankings, especially when it comes to rookies. Rookies, they should just have a separate poll for rookie ranking.
That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen.
You need to play a full NBA season before you get ranked in the NBA. That's just how I view it.
We don't live in that type of world, bro.
Yes, we do. We live in a time where we thought college players would never get paid. We never thought G League guys would be eligible to go back to college. Anything is possible. If you can get a G League guy to go back to college, you can tell me you can change rankings.
Danny, what fun is it? To just leave a whole class of 60 plus players out of the ranking. There's no separate
rookie ranking. You can have rookie
yes,
ranking.
You could do that, and you could also put them in the top 100.
It's disrespectful.
Come on, bro.
I get you want barbershop talk.
So LeBron shouldn't have been in the top 100 back in 2003.
No rookie should be ranked until you play an NBA season. Play an NBA season. I don't give a damn. You could be number one player in high school until you play an NBA season. Like I said, Anthony Bennett was number one pick. You could be a number one pick and still not be good. Like, you don't know how they're going to pan out. You don't know that. I need to see you play an NBA season before I rank you in front of other NBA players. You're not an NBA player until you play some NBA games. So yeah,
you gotta take a step back, Danny. I understand you played in the league for over a decade, so there's a part of you
I thought it was dumb.
I understand, but you're now on the dark side. You're on the media side. We have to put them. It just whether you like it or not. It's more
happening. Do a damn thing. Yes, that's true. But you don't have to do a damn thing. There's a lot of things you do not have. You don't have to do nothing. You want to, because you want to stir shit like this.
Stir the pot.
That's great. Some conversations we don't need to have. Like, again, him being better than Austin Reeves. Come on, bro. What are we doing here? Austin Reeves was like the best third option in the West or in the league at one point. He was the best. Yeah. If he came off the bench, he'd be the best sixth man in the league. And you're telling me a guy that has not played an NBA game, went to Duke, it took them to a Final Four, which is great. You know what I'm saying? We don't know if he gets Christian Laettner or Grant Hill. We don't know what he's going to turn into.
I'm not going to win this argument with you, even though I'm right. So we're just going to move on. One more out of pocket real quick. And maybe we don't have to spend too much time on this, but I already told you how I feel, Danny. Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest fan of this Pat Bev, Trey Young beef that they got going on. And yes, I understand why people could find it entertaining. But frankly, I just saw Pat Bev pick a fight that Trey Young didn't need to pick back. And he decided to pick it up. And now it's become a thing when, frankly, they're in two different levels of their career. They're never going to play each other. They were two different calibers of players. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if I'm going to be honest with you, both of them left a lot to be desired during their careers. So, both of them are still very successful, Yes. They've done what they've done. What are they actually beefing over? Did Trey Young eliminate Pat Beverly for making it to the NBA Finals? Did Pat Bev steal a defensive player first team spot from Trey Young? No. So what's the
beef?
What's the actual beef here?
It's just an ego thing, you know. This is part of the for a guy that doesn't like the rank. Like this is part like the spice. This is what we like to.
Nah, see, I'd rather the rank. I'd rather the rankings than having two men screaming each other on microphones.
You want to converse or conversations about the good stuff? I said the only thing that I don't like about it is that they won't be able to match up.
They're not playing. Yeah, so we done.
But I love. I said I love when all these guys have, you know, a little edge and talk shit to each other. You know what I'm saying? Via either social media, you know, in person, whether it's on the court. I mean, I love to see it, mind you. I love Pat Bev's my guy. He's a little out of pocket with how he approached this and some of the things he said. But Trey is the one that jumped out to him. Pat Bev made a statement. Trey Young jumped in the waters, which he comfortably should be able to jump in those waters.
He fell right for the bait.
He fell right into the trap. It's like, oh word, okay. You want to say something? Pat threw it out there. Who's gonna say something? Trey said, all right, I'm going to say something. And he's able to say something. Now, Pat is out of pocket saying, you can't speak to me unless you've won, because it's like, you know, you would have thought Pat won. He won some playoff games, but it's like, yeah, you would have thought he won, you know, a couple chips or something. But again, and Trey has achieved so much in such a short time as an individual. Just all-star level player, you know, points, assists. And Pat is a good player too, great defender. But to say you can't speak to me when you're talking to a perennial all-star, I'm saying like another great like NBA player, that's a bit out of pocket. So that statement. Outside of that, it's entertainment, man. I love to see that more than I like to see the BS rankings of guys who haven't played yet.
You know what's interesting, and I maybe we'll do this on the next pod. We don't have too much more time. Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting is how NBA guys view players and their level of success and the amount of respect that they get.
Yeah.
It's very different from maybe how the main culture respects them. Like, for example, Pat Bev might get more respect from the generic sports fan, not just like NBA fan, the generic mm-hmm. sports fan, than Trae Young. Because you look at Pat Bev and say, you exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
You made something of nothing, where other people, other sports fans, maybe not NBA fans, because NBA fans probably, you know, understand how hard it is to beat Trae Young. But yeah. Other sports fans might look at Trae Young and say, oh, you're that nice? Why haven't you won a title yet? Why haven't you been to the finals yet?
And so, why haven't you led a team to do something special yet?
Exactly. And when they look at Pat Bev, they're not saying, oh, you didn't need to lead a team. You made it. You were in the league for 10 plus years as mm-hmm. a guy who just known for his defense. Congratulations. You did all you could do. Where you look at Trae Young like, what else, bro? And obviously, Trae Young is way better than Patrick Beverley.
And he's got less ability, honestly. He's a smaller guy that had to work harder to get to where he's at. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Pat Bev's a bigger guard. People forget that. You know what I'm saying? And size matters when it comes to the NBA. Like, you know, being a small guy in the NBA is not easy. Being under 6 feet and being an all-star, you know how hard it is to do that or be that. So Trey had to come a long way as well.
But I don't think people just won't respect it.
Yeah, the generic fans, they don't see all those things. Yeah, they respect probably Pat more because of he's gritty, grind, edgy guy that just played with passion. You don't see that as much from Trey. You know what I'm saying? So I get it. That would be an interesting poll, man, of how NBA players rank their peers or rank their guys and how
the public ranks them. Because I bet you in your NBA circle, your circle of friends who played in the NBA, mm-hmm. If y'all were to rank James Harden from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, I assume that y'all would probably give him like an 8. Eight, shit, maybe, high. Maybe even
yeah, in like his prime. In his prime, he.
Well, yeah. You'd never put him at 10 because you guys would still dock him for not winning a chip. But he at the very least would be at 8. But if you go to the
very least,
the generic,
he'd be a 9, 9.5.
Go to the generic sports fan. Yeah. They're gonna look at James Harden from a 1 to 10, like a 5.
Yeah, they might say 6, 7. They might say 6, 7, depending.
As well as a 5, but like 6.
I think in the prime, they're probably. I mean, overall his career for me, it's at 8, 8.5 for sure. 8.5, 9. His prime, he's 9, 9.5. Most fans would say 7, 7.5. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy because he's one of the best scorers we've ever seen. He's one of the best scorers the game has ever seen.
The generic fan won't think of the generic fan is not going to think of all the greatness. They're going to think of all of the greatness didn't equate to a championship. That's that. And that's just the reality. That's just the reality of it. And also with some, he's had some bad public relations moments.
I think it's more so just some of the exit games. His last game, his closeout games have just been bad mostly. Yeah. And that's the reason why overall career, I think that for me, it was a 9. I think his prime is up in the higher 9-point something.
You get photographed or video of you being seen being out of shape and in the club, and you haven't won a title, and then you also have a history of not playing well in closeout games. It will just those negatives.
It heightens those negatives. It heightens those PR.
And heightens the bad PR. Exactly. All right, Danny, we got to get out of here. We're running a little bit over. But the 76ers and the Minnesota Timberwolves did announce that they're bringing back old school jerseys this year. And
fire.
Both of those are fire. And so with that being said, we can't finish our show without giving another top five. So today's top five, Danny, top throwback jerseys. You let us know how you feel. I'm dropping the mic.
This is a tough one because at number one, I kind of want to hyphen it because both these were fire to me.
No, you can't do this.
I'm gonna rank it, but because I didn't get a chance to wear either one, but I played for these teams, that's why it's a little bit of bias. But I'm gonna go with Toronto.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey number one. I'm gonna go with the Vancouver Grizzlies at number two.
Wow. Okay.
So it was hard. It was hard to give the Toronto number one, Vancouver Grizzlies number two.
When you play with the Raptors, did you play a preseason game at Vancouver?
We did all throughout Canada. So we did Montreal. We played in different parts of Canada. Vancouver, Montreal.
Preseason.
Yeah, we had mini training camp out in Vancouver.
I think 20 years from now, you are going to look back at your Toronto experience as like one of the best years of like not just your career, but just like
I don't need to look back. Life. I already tell people, yeah. This is it was one of the best years of my life.
Point blank.
So yes, Toronto number one, Vancouver number two. Orlando Magic number three. Those jerseys were fire, bro.
The pinwheel joints. Now, yeah. I will say what they tried to remix them this year. Like they're part, like they're kind of back in general.
Yeah, but they did it differently. Yeah, they don't look the same.
It sucks.
But the throwback ones,
I don't know if it's the font or something, but it's off.
Super fire. And number four, this was a number one that could have been higher. Detroit Pistons. Bro, that jersey when Grant Hill
really?
Back in the day, bro, that was a fire jersey. That teal joint?
No, come on, bro.
Fire, bro. You wasn't a real fan of the game. Grant Hill was on top with those jerseys.
I don't care.
Iconic.
I knew who Grant Hill was, but I remember Jerry Stackhouse wearing those too.
Iconic jersey, bro. That horse. Yeah,
the horse with the teal. Like here's a problem, Danny. Here's a problem with that one. You can't have a throwback. Maybe now it makes sense as a throwback jersey, but as a present day jersey, I didn't understand why they needed to go so far away from the Bad Boy Pistons look because Isaiah Thomas,
it was all right. Beard, the Bad Boy's look was all right.
No,
that
I'm not.
Teal,
I'm,
though, I'm, that I'm, green is fire. That green colors is fire.
I understand. I'm not saying that the teal with the horse doesn't look better than the Bad Boys Pistons logo scheme and branding.
But why did they go so far?
Because when you have a team that's iconic, like the Bad Boys Pistons was, you
stay there.
You got to stay within the brand family. It felt like going
from the present day jerseys not the same color? It's not the present day jerseys like similar to that?
The present day is a little bit closer to the Bad Boy, the Bad Boys team's colorway. At least the colorway has stayed the same. My issue, Danny, was you went away from your color scheme. This is not Charlotte Hornets, who've never won a title before, just switching up their whole branding and switching up the colors and all that. This is the Detroit Pistons, who had Isaiah Thomas. Why are you going from blue and red, big Detroit or big Pistons from to teal and orange?
Yeah, I have this.
Thank you.
For another day, I have a whole other take for this. I also don't like the fact that every team from every city is totally different colors. Like, why did they not just keep all the teams from that state or city? Like, yo, this is your state. Represent your city. This is represent, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's a thing. That's for another day, bro. That's for another day. But come on, bro. New York, we have all these colors. Oh, New York, navy blue. Nah, there's a lot of fucking cities with navy. Like, you can't even say you own a color. Oh, this is, you know, Boston's color. No, because you have the Red Sox, you have, you know what I'm saying? You have all there's so hella different colors for every city. Miami, red, Dolphins, teal. You should have
these
some type
of, you want these cities to be gang affiliated. Like, you could just
exactly son. Stay in your room, or at least be close. You know what I'm saying? All the teams should be close.
You're being ridiculous. Well, then you're being ridiculous. Because then all the teams
have
fine.
For another day. My number five jersey is going to be the San Antonio Spurs throwback. Another jersey I never got a chance to wear with the Fiesta Texas throwback colors. Honorable mention, though, I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets, the rainbow skyline.
Yeah,
that was a fire
one. The Denver Nuggets one is definitely better than the Spurs one. You're just biased.
I said it's a toss-up, bro. It's up in the air. But, yeah, I'm going with the Fiesta Texas.
Would it be a toss-up if you didn't win a title?
All right. The Denver Nuggets would be better. But, yes, I am biased.
Thank you.
Shit. Like my team, bro. What you want from me, bro? But yes, the Denver Nuggets one was fire.
Oh, goodness. All right. We got to get out of here. There goes your top five best throwback jerseys. We'll be back. And we're getting also close to the beginning of the NBA season. Looking forward to coming at you a lot more often as the ball starts to tip in the National Basketball Association. Until then, Danny, tell them what to do.
Re-rate, subscribe, review. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.